We are joined now by Los Angeles Times Washington Bureau Chief Doyle McManus, a frequent visitor on Weekend Edition. Good morning, Doyle.
Good morning, Brian.
Thanks for coming in. Another big day for John Kerry, with a brief sideline for a caucus later today in Maine. The race now heads south to Virginia and Tennessee, where Southerners John Edwards and Wesley Clark hope they can make strong showings. Barring a major blunder now on his part, do you think Kerry can be stopped?
It sure doesn't look that way. You know, the important thing about these last couple of contests is that John Kerry is winning in states where his rivals were supposed to be strong. Washington was supposed to be Howard Dean territory. It didn't happen for Howard Dean. The latest polls in Tennessee, which was supposed to be John Edwards territory, show Kerry potentially winning there. So it really does look as if Democrats are coalescing quite quickly around John Kerry, to a degree that some Republicans are worried that they're behaving too rationally in too organized a fashion too quickly for the Republicans' comfort.
Well, that probably won't last. As we just heard, Howard Dean claims that yesterday's results indicate voters now want the contest between him and John Kerry. But he's gone through a dozen primaries and caucuses. He hasn't won once. It seems as though he's sort of mastering the art of positive spin here.
Well, there's positive spin there from Howard Dean. Of course, he's trying to keep his supporters together for what he's already said is the make-or-break contest in Wisconsin on the 17th. But the other language coming from Howard Dean, which is a new tone from him, is he's already talking about what happens after he doesn't get the nomination. He's already saying he will support the nominee of the party, whoever it is, which in fact clears up a question mark as to whether an angry Howard Dean would be less supportive of that. He even said yesterday that he would be proud to be John Kerry's running mate, although he was wise enough to note that having a ticket split between Massachusetts and Vermont probably didn't provide enough geographical diversity.
Let's turn to the president now. Mr. Bush has struggled to regain some momentum of his own this past week. He, under pressure, named a commission to investigate intelligence findings leading to the Iraq War. And today he's making an unusual appearance on a Sunday morning talk show. Yesterday he subjected himself to a taped hour-long interview with Tim Russert for NBC's Meet the Press. With the president's approval ratings dropping, is the White House kind of getting stuck in a reactive mode?
Well, in fact, the president's decision to go subject himself to that hour-long interview from a man who's thought by many to be the toughest interviewer on television today is clear evidence they're desperately trying to get out of reactive mode. You know, in a lot of ways, the month of January could be said politically to have been the worst month in George Bush's time in the White House. At the beginning of the month, his popularity rating on the Gallup poll, which is the one the White House likes to point to, was up in the 60s. By the end of the month, it had dropped below 50% for the first time. It wasn't just reactive. He had a string of bad news. He had David Kaye's report on weapons of mass destruction, which, of course, cast doubt on the decisions he made. The economy hasn't been picking up fast enough. Some of his own initiatives, the budget, the idea of a Mars landing didn't go over very big. But the biggest problem for the president was that the Democrats had what amounted to a month-long infomercial. The primaries, the Iowa caucus, voters tuning in saw nothing but Democrats. And as that process went on, those Democrats, instead of fighting each other, were increasingly turning their fire on George W. Bush, and that took its toll.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's very early in the campaign season, the early part of February. One would think that there's going to be, if the Democrats perhaps might be peaking too soon, that the president is going to regain his footing.
Well, indeed, we are looking at this point, in a sense, at a one-sided campaign. President Bush hasn't come out and campaigned at all. He's bought no television commercials. He's been not quite invisible, but he's been a secondary figure. What you are going to see, first of all, is a lot of second-level Republicans, surrogates, turning their fire on John Kerry. You're going to see a big wave of attacks on John Kerry's war record, on John Kerry's voting record, on John Kerry's history of accepting money from lobbyists or not accepting money from lobbyists. The trick for the Bush side is keeping the president above the fray while keeping his people in the fray. And Bush wants to be the leader in the Rose Garden, the classic strategy for any incumbent president, and not appear to be campaigning while at the same time campaigning like crazy.
Let's turn to this commission to study intelligence that the president appointed last week. He named seven members. What are your thoughts on the people he put on that board?
Well, in a strange way, the story was not the people who agreed to go on the board, but the people who didn't agree to go on the board, including former Senator Bob Kerrey of Nebraska. This was supposed to be a blue ribbon commission. I think it was more of a red ribbon commission. It was sort of the commission of honorable mentions. They're fine people, but the heavyweights weren't there. And that raises a question as to how seriously this commission's findings will be taken.
And it's not supposed to report until more than a year from now, well after the presidential election. The White House concerned, do you think, about the findings?
Sure, you bet they are. Every time this issue has come up, questions have been raised and never have been put to bed about the way they used intelligence. But look, the main interest here of the White House is somehow to get this issue out of the headlines, and that's the entire reason that the commission was created and that it is supposed to work until well after the elections.
Los Angeles Times Washington Bureau Chief Doyle McManus, thanks for coming in this morning, Doyle.
Thank you, Brian.